At long last, back from vacation. Thank you for your patience this week waiting for the Windy City White Sox podcast. The patience, by the way, is for everyone outside of the people on the podcast, because Mo, Courtney, and the King, actually just Mo and Courtney, have generally been insufferable this week, wanting, missing the podcast, which I appreciate. They're passionate. They want to do this podcast. They love the White Sox. They love you. They love me. Yeah. So excited to finally be back and rolling here. After a week in New York, the U.S. Open is my favorite sporting event. I love going the first week because there's a million matches and it's always pretty affordable. And I'm sitting in the first couple of rows, and the weather's great, and tennis up close is awesome, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. If you are a friend of mine, ask me about how to do it. If you are a listener, hit me up on Twitter if you're ever thinking about going to see tennis in New York, because I have the Karm plan that is just so supreme on how to get the best tickets for the lowest prices, where to stay, and how to go about a U.S. Open day. This year, of course, we had a hurricane in the middle of it, which I was oh so lucky that I did not stay that night, because I would have been stuck at the U.S. Open because the subway system in New York had shut down. Hashtag global warming. We're in trouble. It is going to be ugly out there down the line. But let's stay positive. This is a huge week. The Bears are back. I can't wait to see what happens Sunday night against the LA Rams and Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton even, and the wait for Justin Fields. Football is back. I was on the sideline Friday night for Northwestern and Michigan State. That was so incredibly fun for me. Cats did lose, but a lot of youth over there. Hunter Johnson, the new Northwestern quarterback, looks like there's some talent there. Unfortunately, it's going to take a second, I think, for it all to come together for Hunter, who is a senior, but it'll be an interesting year of college football. And yeah, we're past Labor Day. Summer's over. That's a terrible feeling. It's not actually over until it snows. I was swimming in Lake Michigan today. So let's just hold on to what we can hold on to. The White Sox, though, cruise into the playoffs. Let's get this team healthy. A lot of issues going on now with Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson. That's not great, but I guess we don't have to overly worry on September the 6th. DeWindy City White Sox podcast brought to you by, you know it, you love it, and you know exactly what I'm going to say. That's right, Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Put that promo code in, fansided20. You get 20% off. Free shipping with that code. There's no better way to support this podcast than by getting yourself the Lawnmower Performance Package 4.0. It is simply incredible. You will never feel better down low. The Weed Whacker, the ear and nose hair trimmer, I could use that right now. I should have been using my Manscaped when I nicked my ear trying to shave some ear hair this weekend. I was away from my Manscaped. That was bad. Also, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. And yes, I love the performance boxer briefs, the travel bag, took that to New York. Yeah, it is a great, 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 keep yourself 100% professional, looking good, feeling good, smelling good. Manscaped.com, put that promo code in, fansided20. All right, DeWindy City White Sox podcast starts right now.
Showtime.
Podcast. Have we started yet?
No, we're starting now.
Thank you.
I got the business.
I think at 10:46, and I had extended a conversation, so I apologize.
10:46. Okay, just forget it. Just let's gloss over it. I'm so confused.
Right.
Just,
so right now it's 10:02, King. It's not.
I mean 9:46. 9:46. I'm sorry.
I'm actually tempted to start this podcast going through not Courtney's tweets, but Courtney's texts of just utter
unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable.
The level of upset that Courtney.
I think we should get a therapist between you and Courtney, myself.
But I already have.
I could serve as that therapist if I need to. But
let's, you know, King. Here's the problem. I am just so sick of being disappointed by people. I am so respectful and agreeable, and Carmen just continues to disappoint and let me know.
I agree.
And you know, I don't ask for much.
I agree with that too.
Yes.
Where in the world has Carmen, me, disappointed? I don't get that at all. We're going all the way back to the Field of Dreams, aren't we? Where Courtney felt that she naturally should have been invited to the Field of Dreams over some of my longtime bestie friends.
No, Mark, I'm gonna cut you right off. You should not have even been there. Listen, you want to go to Field of Dreams? Go next year when your boring, terrible Cub team is there. That's fine. That's fine. I guarantee you, I won't be there next year either. But I should have been there this year.
Yeah, I agree with her. I really do.
Listen. Okay, we're not going down the you should have deserved to have been there argument, because you clearly do. You're the reason why you're on this podcast. It's why when I searched long, far, wide, hard, all of it, looking for the diehards of the diehards, you, Courtney Finnegan, were at the top or close to the top of the list. I actually would put Mo at the toppest of the top of my list, actually.
Okay, Mark, are you ever going to also learn how to pronounce my last name? It's Finnecum.
What did I say?
Finnegan. What is wrong with you? King, my God. I bet Brad Hand knows how to pronounce my last name.
Well, there he is. There he shows up. There she is.
Finnecum. I don't know.
Finnecum, Finnecan, Carmen. I mean, come on, Finnecum. Maybe it's just maybe that just feels a little aggressive.
It just throws you off. It just throws you off.
It does. I think it's throwing everybody off.
Don't mispronounce my last name. Thank you. That is all.
Okay. King, I think a single therapist is not going to be able to repair this relationship. Maybe an exorcist.
I think we need two. But I like the discourse for the podcast.
Yeah. No, I know you do, King. All right, here, let's get on the field first for the rest of the podcast, actually.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I want to start with a trivia question for you. Jose Abreu, who maybe, I don't know, where do you rank him now in all-time White Sox? Could he be number two behind Frank Thomas? He's certainly closing in. But the numbers for August: 330 the batting average, 382 the on base, 661 the OPS, 7 doubles, 10 homers, 25 RBIs, 22 runs scored. He was the AL Player of the Month. We're going to go in this order: King, Mo, Courtney, because Courtney claims to be the biggest Jose Abreu fan on the planet. How many times in Jose Abreu's career has he been named the American League Player of the Month? How many times, King, in his career, which started back in 2014, has he been named the Player of the Month for the American League?
Eight.
Eight times. Mo.
Yep. I'm going to say four.
Four times. Mo. Courtney.
Mo is correct. I'm going to also go four.
Yeah. Shockingly, King doubled the actual thing because he's the king. And I'm surprised that he didn't just, you know, calculate up from 2014 to 2021. That's basically 6 months of play in seven seasons. So seven times six is 42. Should have gone with, you know what, probably like 38 times he was the MVP or the AL Player of the Month. But four times. I thought that almost felt low to me, four. For how consistent, well,
Mark,
right?
If you remember, he does not, the David Ortiz of today's baseball, Abreu. But remember when he was in contract conversations and you were not very favorable on what he should earn. And if I remember correctly, I said he should get a 3-year deal for about $25 million a year. And you laughed at me and he didn't get that. But I'll tell you what, he's worth that. He's worth that. As someone in the clubhouse, he's worth that as someone who is tougher than nails, and he's worth that in terms of production on the field.
And I fully agree. And I want to add to that because, listen, everybody on this podcast wants the White Sox to win the World Series for obvious reasons, but the guy you really want the team to win a World Series for is Abreu. I mean, let's not forget the awful teams this man has played on. And he's played hard and he's played extraordinarily well. And he wants to be here. That's what kills me about these Sox fans that still don't really get it. He wants to be here. With all these other players that jump from team to team for so much more money, he wants to be here. That is a guy who you want to cheer for all the time.
But I'm a little confused here. Are you finding that there are Sox fans that don't appreciate Absolutely. Abreu?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Absolutely there are. And, you know, I mean, there's these, you know, statistical fans, sabermetrics people that, you know, argue about his RBIs and what they're worth and if they're important. And it's exhausting. I mean, and I have said this on this podcast, Abreu will go down as one of the most underappreciated players, not just in White Sox history, not just even in Chicago sports history, but sports history in general. The guy is incredible and he doesn't get nearly enough credit as he should.
Mo, do you agree with that contention that Jose Abreu is underappreciated?
I think he is, in the same way that I think Konerko was, right? King mentioned Ortiz. To me, Ortiz got all the love. I don't see Abreu getting that nationally. I think there is some Sox fans who looked at his numbers and saw that he would decline and that he doesn't hit, you know, 400 and hit 50 home runs. But to me, to your question about is he two behind Thomas, I would still put Konerko up ahead of him. But Abreu certainly has been, you know, impressive. And I think he just, to all the points Courtney made, like he goes out there every single day. He's certainly a leader. And the guy will take a shot to the face like Konerko did, and he'll get back up and say, all right, let's go. So, you know, I do think there's a lot of Sox fans who do love him, but there are some who look at him and say, you know, they don't appreciate him for what he is.
Is that a rubber band in his beard? What has he got going on there?
Well, and his helmet. His helmet's all yellow.
this is the analysis that we pay the king for. He does have a very yellowish pine tar crushed batting helmet that King loves because King, when's the last time you showered?
A couple days.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking
about.
I mean,
Carm, are you just jealous that you can't pull off the same Abreu beard? Is that the problem?
Why do you got to go to that I couldn't do that? How do you know what I can do beard-wise? I have a great beard.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to challenge you.
There's
like
no way that you can pull off the coolness of Abreu. There's just no way. You can't.
I didn't say I could pull off the coolness, but if you want me to get a scraggly beard going on that I could put a rubber band in, I got a shot.
I don't think you can do that. You're one of those guys that kind of grows a little bit on some of the face, but not all the face. It's a good challenge. Why don't you grow one, Mark?
Yeah, no.
That was exactly where I was going, King. I want to challenge Mark until the World Series to try to grow that beard.
Grow Come a on. Beard and grow a pair, no, if no. you know what I mean.
Oh. Grow a beard and grow. Totally. You know, Con, you've already disappointed me once. You know, don't let's you're on thin ice. You know that.
Yeah. Things I'm worried about. That would not be at the top of the list because Lord knows the level of upset that Courtney can find in a text chain. There's no way you're not going to upset Courtney throughout the course of a day. By the way, can we look back on the field off the beard? Nobody really answered the question. I guess it is a rubber band, which I think is just an amazingly creative, cool look. And you're at the end of the day, but I'm not saying I could ever be remotely as cool as Jose Abreu. That guy is straight cool. But I still look confused as to how he just chooses to maintain that situation while he's playing baseball. It's very interesting. White Sox are 22 games over 500 as we record this on Friday at 78-56. They have a 100% chance of winning the AL Central, even though they haven't clinched yet. The Indians technically have a 0.1% chance left, 9.5 back. When's the last time we'll do the same order? King, Mo, Courtney. When's the last time the Sox were 22 games over 500? King. What year?
Oh my God, maybe 83?
83. Okay, that going completely contrarian over the top the other way. Mo?
I'm going to say 2006.
2006 for Mo. Courtney?
Mo is correct again. It is 2006.
Cordy spends her life on Twitter. So when I pull these statistics off of Scott Merkin's Twitter feed, she's not going to miss them. That's just the way that's what I'm dealing with right now. 2006, King, not 1983. Come on. They won the World Series in 05.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they were 22-0. I mean, I forget it.
It's my new favorite part of the pod is throwing out random trivia and seeing
only
how
because
often.
You know I'll be vulnerable and you like when I'm vulnerable. That's the only
that's, not, that's not vulnerable. You're just wrong. Vulnerable. If you want to be vulnerable, just tell us your feelings when in 1983 when the winning ugly team won 99 games and Julio Juice Cruz came home with the winning run to clinch the division and Ron Kittle was running around and Carlton Fisk and Ozzie Guillen. Go ahead.
I mean,
Mark, I hate team. To say this. Ozzie wasn't on that
Ozzie
team.
Ozzie wasn't on that correct. Team. I stopped myself. Scott Fletcher, correct. Go ahead. It's my bad. Scott Fletcher, excuse me. Ozzie was
it was elation. It was joy. It was happiness. There was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of what looked like sadness, but just the tears of joy.
What about when Uribe throws it across the diamond, caught by Konerko, and Jerry's crying in his box? What were you doing?
I was crying with my father.
Oh my God, that's so good. That's so good.
Hey, Carm, I do like how in these trivia questions, you're now going to me last because you always know I'm going to blow these guys out of the water. Because wow. As we discussed,
wow, Mo, did you
know
hear that?
My winning percentage, as we discussed a couple podcasts ago, is undefeated. And all it right. continues to be undefeated. So keep going to me last. You know exactly what you're doing.
Mark, I just like that Courtney gets to say Mo is correct. I'm not used to her saying that. So that was
yeah, and you know, I'm feeling I love good. The humility. The humility is fantastic.
I'm going to go off the board here. A stat that was not put on Twitter in the last 5 days and see if Courtney actually is the one seed because I'm going to bet on Mo. I'm going to go to Jose Abreu's rookie season. Do not go. If you guys are cheating, I'm going to find you and hurt you. No cheating is allowed here. King will go first to you. Jose Abreu led the White Sox in home runs in his rookie season with 36. Who was second on the team in 2014 in home runs? Go ahead, King. You're up. Are you looking it up?
He's 100% looking it up.
5 seconds. Mo, forget King. You're out of this. There's no chance you pull it. Mo, do you have any chance at that?
I have no shot.
No shot. Courtney, do you?
Oh, man. 2014. I'm going to just take a stab in the dark and go Alex Rios.
Alex Rios. Not on the squad in 2014.
I had a bad feeling. I had a bad feeling. Yeah.
This guy, let me just see how far deep I got to go down for one of you guys to get it.
Jermaine Dye. I'm going to say Jermaine Dye.
In 2014? Okay. No.
Oh, no. He was in 2005. I'm sorry. 2014.
That's okay. Hold on. Just
I got
just,
no
just,
idea.
Wait. Hey, no Carmen, idea. Maybe King can phone the prince and he can get some help.
No, just
phone a friend.
Either that or mute yourself. Don't just think slowly. This person had a negative war, even though they hit 21 home runs and played in 145 games with over 500 at-bats. He also, I'll just give it away, but maybe doesn't even give it away, played third base.
Oh, geez.
Anybody?
Herbert Perry?
Alan Bannister.
Incorrect.
I got nothing. I am just drawing a blank. Wow. I have nothing.
Kepinger? I don't know.
This.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Just keep. Please. Just. This is a good one. A good little trivia here. This person played on the White Sox from 2010 through 2014. Did not play with any other major league team. 5 seasons in the big leagues. Played over 124 games, we'll call it, for his last 3 years.
Craig Nettles.
We hit the
Craig
White Nettles. Sox. Hit 25, 14, and 21 homers. His war was 0.6, 0.1, and negative 1. He was slow as a pig. I can remember that. And he is from, I hope I'm saying this right, Remedios Cuba.
Oh, my God. Is it this? Oh, my God. What the hell is his name? Not this guy, you know.
You're right there.
I know I am. Oh, he had stone hands. He couldn't play defense. Oh, my God. I can't think of his name.
Mo? You should have it, both what she just said.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Dion Viciedo, ladies and
gentlemen. Wait. Hold on a second. Third base, Viciedo was an outfielder.
He's listed here as a third baseman.
Mo, at one point he did play the infield and he was terrible. That's why I said stone hands. They moved
okay.
him.
All right.
Yeah.
That was the guy that Hawk said like hit the ball harder than any human being he's ever seen, if I recall.
Tell you, Dion Viciedo, he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. All right, back to what's going on right now. Let's talk about any moment of silence for Jake Lamb designated for assignment.
Yes.
He did well. I mean, I used to kind of make fun of him because he did well. I mean, he actually did, but my man Gavin Sheets is up though, which he just keeps rolling.
So Mark, if I can interject here though,
please.
To me, Jake Lamb served a purpose. He was our backup third baseman. Who's our backup third baseman right now? I'm going to go to Courtney on this one. King, I'm going to let you take a breath.
Is the backup third baseman not Leury?
Is that who you want as your backup third baseman?
Well, are you really worried about the backup third baseman?
I am. Wait. Have you not paid attention to Moncada? Knock on wood, he gets hurt a lot and needs.
I suppose that's fair, but you really would. Danny Mendick, Leury, somebody steps in? No.
Yeah, I mean, Mo, I don't think that should be. I agreed with you a couple podcasts ago about the backup catcher situation. That's a concern. I would agree with that. But yeah, I'm not too worried about.
I agree. I think, Mo, you're a little off here. I just think.
All right. We'll see. Hopefully, I am. I hope I am.
Unlike you, Mo, but if you need to go,
I started looking at the postseason roster. We don't have a lot of backup infielders. We have Garcia basically, and if Mendick makes the team. Got a lot of outfielders, not a lot of infielders.
Just for the record, it's another reason why I love Mo on the pod is because he will want every stone uncovered. Who's backing up third base in game 6 of the ALCS? If Moncada tweaks a hamstring or comes down with COVID, whatever, I want to know who's backing up third base and you don't feel secure. And I got it. And I appreciate that, Mo. Even though
if he's got to cut another music video contractually and he has to take a game off, who's playing third?
Not Brad Hand. Okay.
I'm going to let that slide, Mark. Thank you.
All right. Let's go through the injured list here. Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito with the hamstring strain, Timmy with the nonstop leg issues right now. Who's concerned?
I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I mean, I'm always concerned when I hear about injuries. I hate injuries. Obviously, who likes them? But I think, honestly, a lot of this is just giving guys a rest because they have such a large lead. I mean, they have one of the divisions with the largest leads. I honestly think if it was October, these guys would be playing. I'm okay with it now. Obviously, talk to me in a month and I may have a completely different feeling. But as of now, I'm okay with it.
So I have, if I may... team, I have a suggestion for Tim Anderson. The place is called the Thai Body Massage. It's on Chicago Avenue, just west of Franklin. I know what you're thinking. This is an above the board establishment, but they will get on the table and pull you in 17 different directions. It is a little bit vulnerable because things are hanging out like you wouldn't believe in that whole scene. But I think that's what Tim needs to do. I think we need to get aggressive at this point. We got to get the body right. And I'm going Thai Body Massage on Chicago for Timmy 8. Anybody got a problem with that?
Well, Mark, I'm not sure if we've ever discussed this, but I am a connoisseur of Asian massage places. And I know how that sounds. But I actually am. So I am all for that. I think everybody on this podcast needs to go to one and we can all take a trip together for all I care, but it is crucial. I'm a big fan.
Who knew that Courtney was going to bust out the Asian massage knowledge? That's impressive.
I have Asian massage parlors. I go to in almost every city in this country and it's fantastic.
Mo, have you ever done it?
No.
King? I know you go for the foot rub.
I'm a proponent of any type of massage.
I did not know what I was getting myself involved in when I went because I just walked by the place a million times on the way to work. And I'm like, you know what? I can't move. So maybe this will help. Next thing I know, a 100-pound superstar is walking on my back and I'm in enormous pain. And I thought like I literally was going to die. And then I walked out of there and I'm like, oh my God, I feel amazing. That was incredible. I think Tim. Yeah.
Hey, Carm, if you really want to up your experience, they're hard to find. There's not a lot in Chicago, but try a Asian spa where they literally scrub your entire body. And when I say scrub, I mean scrub.
I don't know if this is going to make it on the pod. I'm going to have a tough time.
Oh, it should. No, it should. It should.
Is anybody else uncomfortable here? Self-care is important. Let's leave it at that. I do think the Tim thing is a little bit weird. I get that they have a big lead and they don't need to push him, but this is a guy who loves to play baseball and you also do want to keep your rhythm. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on anything because I'm sure it's maybe just the legs, but does it strike anybody else as a little bit of an odd situation?
I think it's a little odd. To Courtney's point, I am a little concerned just because he's taking some time off and still seemingly not right. Now's the time to do it though. So if this is really just, you know, sort of maintenance and just sort of making sure he's going to be fresh, great. But hopefully it's not something worse. Because as I pointed out, we don't have a lot of backup infielders. Just going to throw that in there.
And, you know, in my years of doing White Sox pre and post, and I was out at the park a ton, Timmy would be there long, long, long before the game would start, like earlier than his teammates. And he'd be, you know, he's an everyday guy and he'd be out there grinding, taking ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. And, you know, I would ask him about it. He's like, he'd just be like, that's what I do. You got to stay ready, man. You know, that type of stuff. So, I mean, it's not who he is to take time off at all. That's not his thing. So
he's hurt. He's tired. He's tired and he's got the aches and pains. So he's just getting ready. Just like playing with the bullpen's getting ready. You guys, this is the only way we're going to win. The power rankings were number 8 this week. There are better rosters out there from us than us, I should say. Tony is just getting us ready to beat those rosters that are superior on paper. That's all I'm doing. Just trust.
There's this soft voice that King invokes when he gets into like the larger scheme and you must believe mantra. And it was just, guys, it just, listen, it's part of the dogma of the White Sox. This is the karma that Tony is going to invoke in a qualitarian, dispitarian equilibrium.
For God's sake. It's the energy you put in.
It's right. It's the it's the energy.
The karmic value of being a true White Sox fan,
right,
of which we all are. You just have to trust that life is good, right, and it's going to bring us promise. That is what's happening here.
Namaste.
Even if we don't have enough infielders. Even if Courtney would say we got a leaky bullpen, it's going to be fine. Come on, let's all get by, you know, behind and get a unified field to us winning the 2021 World Series.
Is this the part where I can rip into the bullpen? Because, you know, that's my favorite.
Do whatever
part.
You want, but I'm just telling you, trust. Trust.
Go ahead, Courtney, rip into the bullpen. Let's hear it.
Send me the link. Text me the link to my phone, please.
Text you the link of what?
Of this podcast.
Doing the pod. There is no
link.
There's only 3 minutes left.
It's my son's birthday and I have to transition.
Oh, you're leaving us. You're leaving.
No, I'm not leaving you. Just text me the link for God's sake. Okay. It's a request.
I swear, we have
to fight for everything on this podcast. Okay. Why can't we come together as one towards something? Text me the link for God's sake.
I'm going to say this nicely. Learn how to use the internet. Subscribe to a podcast.
I will after this podcast. In the meantime, text me the fucking link.
I am so respectful and agreeable. No, Mark, I'm gonna cut you right off.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
Don't mispronounce my last name. Thank you. That is all. You should not have even been there. I am just so sick of being disappointed by people. Okay, Mark. Mark, are you ever gonna also learn how to pronounce my last name? It's Finicum.
You, Courtney Finnegan.
I'm okay with it now. Obviously, talk to me in a month and I may have a completely different feeling, but